If you would please join me in the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Today is the first Sunday of the Lenten season, as is our custom at New Sterling. We share the Lord's table together. And so let's turn our attention to that table. First of all, from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, then 21 through 28. Hear the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of the living God. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Now to verse 21, please. When Moses called all of the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that's in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads and worshipped." Then the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The spilling of blood. It is the Christian's salvation. It is the spilt blood of Jesus Christ, which I explained to the children, and Lathan quickly understood. So did Jeremiah and Lily. But it is through that spilled blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. It is by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we not only have salvation, but also that salvation will take us to the eternity which we already have begun living now. As we will sing here just in a few moments, nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Life, eternal life, is in the blood of Jesus Christ. But do you not think it's somewhat crude and awkward and even a bit uncomfortable to talk about blood this way? It can seem somewhat crude to some, I guess, that the spilt blood, the blood of another, can mean so much. And it all began here in this Passover lamb. the captive days of the Israelites, when God brought curses and plagues upon the Egyptians. And in doing this, there were two objectives that our Lord had. One, to prove himself to be the Almighty. He said several times here, "I do this for I am the Lord." Executing his judgment because of his authority, because of the sinfulness of the Egyptian nation. But his second purpose was to secure the people to be his people. Life is in the blood. And he secured that through the death of here, the Passover lamb. But again, I ask the question, is it not somewhat crude that we speak of blood this way, especially in our world today? When bloodborne pathogens and diseases, and we're afraid to touch. In the operation for Judy this week, we've been through several surgeries, as many of you have, but I couldn't help but to notice the increase, the stark increase of their care and protection having anything to do with blood. Judy's wound is wrapped with a special package, if you will, that's been sterilized. And when I thought, well, maybe in a week or so I could rewrap it and do it and clean it, they said, no, absolutely not. Do not touch it. Because they're just so afraid of diseases and infections in the blood. But here we're talking about blood that brings life. And it began way back during this Passover time. Now, before we dig in too deeply into this Passover, I'd like to read you two verses, if you will, three verses, from the book of Leviticus. You know how often we get to the book of Leviticus. But there's an incredible statement here that I want you to hold in your thinking as we go through this sermon text about the Passover lamb, the shedding of blood, etc. From Leviticus 17, verses 10 through 12. Now just hold this idea, this thought in your mind as we're going through this. Leviticus 17, 10. If anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn among them eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. And here's the verse. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. Therefore, I have said to the people of Israel, no person among you shall eat blood. Neither shall any stranger or sojourns among you eat blood. Again, here in the teaching of Leviticus, the importance of blood. First of all, it is the life blood. Not only does the blood portray spiritual life, it's the physical life of blood. It goes without saying that the blood pumping through our veins brings us that life blood. It's a necessity that we have to have the blood racing through our veins. As well, we must have the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cover that sin, to give us life. And the writer of Leviticus, Moses here, says that very thing. He says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you also as an atonement. So yes, we may feel a bit squeamish talking about blood in this way, but look at its necessity, both for our physical lives, but also its necessity for our spiritual lives. We must have it. We must have it. Now, back to the Passover of Exodus 12. The Passover was instituted to remember the deliverance of Israel from the 10th plague. And notice the 10th plague was the killing of all the firstborn. And it affected not only the Egyptians, but the Israelites as well. All of the firstborn of the land were killed that night, human and animal alike. Yet in those homes where they followed this command of taking that hyssop and painting the door frames of their homes so that, as Moses wrote, the destroyer, when they passed by, would pass over that household, hence the name, the Passover lamb. The spilled blood of that lamb provided safety, provided salvation from death. I can't imagine that night. the horror, the sinfulness of the Egyptians, yes, but also the innocent ones of the land of Egypt. You see, sin not only affects the one who perpetrated the sin, sin has consequence that spreads throughout the land. And so there were innocent people who died. But yet the Lord God saw that that was the way to prove his almighty nature and for the Egyptians to understand how severe their sinfulness was, but also for the Israelites to understand the wrath of God toward sin. And it was only by his grace that he instituted this Passover to pass over those people. Were the Israelites innocent of sin? Absolutely not. But here we see the grace and the mercy of our Lord God passing them over. Now, this lamb was of particular notice. Each household was to select a lamb. It was to be 1 year old, and it must be without blemish. Why so much concern about a lamb? Why does it have to be without blemish? Well, this is an offering to the Almighty. And so there's a certain perfection necessary in bringing an offering, bringing this kind of worship to the Lord God. It makes sense that this offering should be in that perfection. And it's the same way for our worship. Now, our worship is not perfect by any means here today. However, in following the commands the Lord God gave us to worship, then we can be on that path toward that perfection because we're following the Word of God. We cannot come in here and worship just any way we want. They could not bring just any lamb out of the lot. It had particular emphasis and it had to have a particular nature, perfection. You see, God is holy, perfect, and majestic. And so anything we bring to Him must be in accord to His nature, not just any way we desire to bring it. And the same, as I said, it was for the lamb. It had to be a perfect, non-blemished lamb. But the lack of defect in this lamb is important in another reason. It symbolizes the moral perfection of the victim. The moral perfection of one that it was foreshadowing. Remember, most all of the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of that which is to come, which the New Testament portrays and reveals. So this lamb symbolizes a perfection. The lamb did nothing to deserve death. From all appearances, it looked perfect. To obtain forgiveness, to meet the demands of the law, the lamb had to be without blemish, which again is a foreshadowing of one which is to come. Dr. Mark Rawl states, in God's salvation, it's not the sinner who dies for the sinner, but the sinless one who dies for the sinner. The lamb had done nothing to deserve death. It was a young 1-year-old lamb. But yet its foreshadowing nature was what it symbolized of the one who was to come, who was indeed the perfect lamb. And there's more. As we said, the unblemished lamb represents the perfect being, perfect worship offered to God, but also the unblemished lamb represents a life lived without error and turmoil. Nothing has occurred in this young lamb's life that would cause stain or imperfection. Again, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life. He was without sin, was without blemish. He fulfilled the demands of the law, therefore maintaining his righteous nature. They saw that in this lamb. We see it in Jesus Christ. He was offered both as one who lived a sinless life and one who was perfect, meeting the just demands of the Father. And see, this is incredibly important and necessary for our salvation. You see, the law still exists. There are those who would preach that God now is a God of mercy and grace, and the law, the Ten Commandments law, has no place any longer. And that's not true. The law is still the law, and God demands us to live to that perfection of the law. However, in our sin, we cannot. we cannot meet the law. But that law is still necessary. And so when Jesus Christ came, living that sinless life, he fulfilled the righteousness of the law. And when he died on the cross, that perfection of righteousness was imputed to us in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I can fulfill the law. In Jesus Christ only can you fulfill the law. So him living that unblemished, perfect life was necessary. You say, well, he was God. Well, yes, he was. But he was also fully man. He was also fully man. And lived among men, sinners. 2 Corinthians 5, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I've told you this before. I asked Jamie Hunt one time, what does he fear the most? And he said, standing in front of God the Father without Jesus Christ. We can only walk into that throne room in Jesus Christ because of what Paul wrote here. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that righteousness of Jesus Christ might be imputed to us. Just as the death of Christ is foreshadowed in the slaughter of the Lamb, the perfect obedience of Christ is foreshadowed also in that perfect Lamb. And all of this brings us to this table. In Exodus 12:13, as we read, Moses said, "This shall be a sign for you, and you shall do it for all generations." And when the children come, as they did today, perfect. When the children come and ask, "What is that?" Then you tell them, "This is the Passover lamb that brings you salvation." This table is a sign. It is a sign of the fulfillment of all of what Jesus Christ has done. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It is fulfilling the order God gave Moses in 12:24. "Observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever." And so we are being obedient. This table points to the completed work of Jesus Christ. He was the unblemished Passover lamb. Again, is it crude and uncomfortable to talk about spilling of blood? Yes, in a secular context, but not here. Not here. Because that blood not only is our physical life, it is our spiritual life. The question remains for us here today, does that blood cover you? Does the work of Jesus Christ cover you? I pray that it does.